Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
This is only license. Does that make sense? So they just emailed me and said, we're including, we're using your image. They didn't have to do that because I had stamped that. With attribution. Let me show you how this works. I'm going to jump out of this and show you a really effective way how you can do this. It uses Flickr. And we'll keep our fingers crossed we've got some bandwidth here. Oh, that's not good. Time to charm. Okay, I'm going to a site. Try and get my leg on here. Called Flickr Storm. Flickr Storm. And has anybody seen Flickr Storm? Oh, I finally finally got you. And this is my favorite way to search Flickr. And as this comes up here. There's nothing worse when you're in front of a whole group of people. You've never experienced this, have you, with your kids? Never, no. Okay. All right. So I'm going to just go back to the presentation. We'll come back to that, see if I can get there a little bit later. Okay. So the fourth thing is that you gotta help them learn how to share that. And understanding Creative Commons is a key factor in that. All right, the fifth thing is that kids have to become very comfortable with working with in multiple mediums to produce visual messages, okay? That's a key thing. Different kinds of multiple mediums. And I'm really going to, if my bandwidth fails me here, I'm going to really struggle here. Let's see. There you go. I'm going to start you here. Recognize interface? What is it? Google Earth. Have you ever done any kind of content creation in Google Earth? Okay. One of the nice things about Google Earth is that, in my opinion, that every single content area that we work with kids has some geographical context. Science, obviously there is a huge amount of geographical basis for studying science. Have you seen GoogleLitTrips.com? Okay. Google, write this down or type it in, GoogleLitTrips.com. Google Lit Trips. Yeah, I'll write it down. Okay. Yeah, let me see if I can get there. Are you recording?
Yeah.
Is that a microphone? It's pretty slick.
Yeah.
I'm back to Flickr. You mind if I go back? Okay. Here's Flickr Storm, and I'm going to type in Shanghai. Okay. What this does is it's going to reach into Flickr and make my search much more effective. So I'm going to click on Advanced, right here. You'll notice what pops up. A series of pull-down menu that allows me to select the different licenses of Creative Commons. This is why this is so effective. It's a much better way to search for images within Flickr, within the Creative Commons licensing schematic, rather than searching in Flickr itself. There's a reason for that I'm not going to get into. But I'm going to select Attribution there. And that means that any single image that I find, what does that mean? I can now use it legally, right? Huge. So let me you never know what you're going to get. And if you're familiar with Flickr, you'll know that Flickr categorizes its imagery in a couple different ways. What this does is very nicely reaches into the most interesting pool. Now you have no idea how Flickr determines which visual image is most interesting, okay? But it gives you the highest quality photography back. The highest quality photography back reduces the kind of reduces the likelihood that you're going to see inappropriate kinds of content, especially if you're working with younger kids. All right, so what I'm going to do is I see that I've getting, that my images are flowing in here, and I've got a series here and a series down below. There's typically 120 images, and if I scroll down a little bit further, it's not still not blending in yet. I'll just show you what this looks like on top here. All right, watch what happens. I'm going to click on that link. And what that's going to do is it's going to load that photograph on the right-hand side. And here it comes in. And as that comes in, wow, taxing the bandwidth, aren't we? I'll just do one image. Hopefully I can get it in here. You'll notice what those images are doing is they're loading in the left-hand side. All right. In the interest of time, what I'm going to do is just tell you what happens. I can add this on the bottom here. There's going to be a link that appears that says add to my tray. And when I add to my tray, that image goes in the left-hand side here, and this turns yellow. So the idea is that you put kids on Flickrstorm. Okay, you get them searching, and you have them add photos to their tray. And then you're able to click on this little download icon here, and it downloads your whole entire tray. Now, what's the advantage of that? And sorry, I can't show it to you. That's a little ridiculous. But what happens is when you download that tray, it gives you a web address. Okay, and what's the advantage of that web address? The web address is tied to your entire Flickrstorm search. So what does that mean? It means that kids can save that web address and recapture their images at any particular time. It's a huge, huge thing for kids when they lose them because they're always losing their images. Second thing is if you're working with young kids doing visual imagery kind of work, you can do the search for them and distribute the link to them. And that way you can do the search and ensure that the images are the kind of images they need to see or you want them to see. It's all done through here. By the way, on my site, if you go to jakesonline.org/photostory, that's jakesonline.org/photostory.htm. There are links to a Flickrstorm tutorial and three screencasts of how to use Flickrstorm. I'll take you and walk you up through that entire process of using this. This is a very, very effective way in which to take images and download them. Okay. Okay, let me go back to Google Earth here. And we talked about Google Earth and the geographical components of all different kinds of content areas. But if you've never created a placemark, you know what a placemark is, that little yellow push pin up there? Okay. When I click on this, and this is, I did some work, this is Huron County, Michigan. If I click on that, there actually are 9 one-room schoolhouses in Huron County still. And 2 of them are wireless. But that makes sense if you're working in the one-room schoolhouse. You say, just take your laptops, go back there, and move around and use your space. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go over to Shanghai. And when I talk about multiple mediums, should kids be able to design in PowerPoint, certainly, or a Keynote or whatever? But should kids be able to design content in a platform like this? Absolutely. Think about this as being another way in which to produce content. And it's as simple as this. I'm still waiting for my thing to blow in here. If I click on this little push pin right here, it's a placemark. What that's going to do is pop up. See it appear there? Mm-hmm. All right. Now there's the area that I can work in. Now this particular area will accept only HTML code. But what I can put into here is I can put in any kind of, are you familiar with all the embed codes that are out there? Any of the, for example, can I embed a YouTube video into this? Certainly. Think about the power. Connect that. We want kids to be producers of content, right? So think about being able to have kids produce a digital story, upload it to YouTube. YouTube, of course, includes that embed code. You can take that embed code and then put it right into there and display the YouTube video within the content of the placemark. So, does that make sense? That's pretty. You want? Let me see if I can. You think I can do that? Give it a shot here. All right. All right. So this is a video that I'm going to show you a little bit later. This is from one of our students in Illinois, and it's about her impressions of an issue that's facing America. We encourage our kids when we're producing content to answer very difficult questions because we want them to understand that what they have to say is indeed important. And the process of digital storytelling allows them to produce this content, post it up there. By the way, is this safe to do this with kids? It is. I moderate all the content, all the comments. Guess what? Get more positive comments or more negative comments about this? I've been seeing about 2,000 times. There's a lot of negative comments. There's a lot of YouTube hate out there. There really is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this embed code right there. I'm going to copy that. Control copy. I'm going to jump back to Google Earth. I'm going to paste that in. Control V. And here's the secret. You've got to hit return once. Okay. And then I'm going to click OK. And fingers crossed. It'll appear in that window. It will, really. It's bandwidth is killing me right now. But here's the idea. If you save this file, anybody know how you do that? Or what that saved? It's saved as something called a KML file. It's a little tiny file that represents that placemark. So think about this. Could you have kids produce, every student in your class produces a video you upload to YouTube. Could you put it into one of these placemarks? And could you collect all the placemarks? Yes, you could. So you could literally have a whole Google Earth presentation that is a collection of student placemarks that displays their videos that are related to some kind of geographical context. So, if you want to do that in an unconference session, we'll be glad to show you how to do all that. The interesting thing, you can also put in images in here. You can put in hyperlinks. Are you familiar with Evoca or GCast? Evoca is, in GCast, our cell phone podcasting tools. They're free accounts. You dial a number, you call the service, and you record your voice. You go to the website. It has a little player, a little piece of embed code. You take the embed code, put it into your, there it is. Success. Okay. And then, of course, it would play. So here is the, just to show you, it's way down here on the bottom. Anybody see where it is? There it is right there. So I right-click on that, and I would save place as. And I would go ahead, and then you can see that that's a KMZ. Same thing, don't worry about it. Pull that down, put a KML. As simple as that. You just right-click on a PC, option-click on a Mac, and save that KML file. But here, the idea of being able to produce content within Google Earth is something that's really, really attractive for me and really attractive for kids. The other thing that you want to realize is that, I'm going to cancel this for a second, get rid of this, go back here. There are also things called online HTML editors. And if you're not familiar with this, remember how I said that window requires that you have to enter in HTML? You may not know HTML. So what I'm going to do is going to grab my image here, somewhere right here. There's an image of Shanghai. I'm going to take that address there, copy it. I'm going to jump back to Google Earth. I'm going to go back and get myself a new placemark. Right there. And can I paste that in? Well, no, I can't. I have to use my... Cancel that for a second. Come back to my editor, wherever that may be. And I'm going to click here. And that's going to pull up that paste that address in there and click insert. And there's my image. Okay. It's a picture icon.
Oh, okay.
What I'm doing here is I don't know how to program in HTML, so I'm using an editor. So I'm using the features of the editor to build my placemark content. So I just go to my HTML code right here, and come on. It's going to appear in there. I'm going to copy that. Where am I going to place it? Into my placemark window. So here's the idea. You got an opportunity to take all these different kinds of media and blend them within placemark windows to create a visually rich learning environment for kids. Constructive environment for them to build content. It's very, very, so all I do is copy this, go back to Google Earth, go to my second placemark, and put it in. Okay, I'm not going to do that, but all right. The other thing I want to show you, and this will really tax the web, we're going to give it a shot anyway because it's really pretty cool, is have you seen Google Street View? Okay. Google Street View is rotational, three-dimensional movies you can zoom in and out of. Okay. Wow. This will be a long conference, guys. I mean, it's not going anywhere. Are you getting connectivity? Are you able to search on the web anywhere? Pardon?
It's slow.
That's not even okay. Okay, so I'll come back to that. I'll let that blend in here, but I'll go on to the next step. After that, visuals, when you combine them with different kinds of multimedia, and I've gotten in trouble with this statement, believe it or not. I'm a very strong believer that helping kids to create content visually allows them, especially with digital storytelling and producing video content, allows them to have a competitive voice. And what do I mean by that? Let me explain that. What I'm thinking about here is that kids, with all the kinds of media that are out there, there are tremendous amounts, and we talked about the amount of Flickr images and YouTube content. We want to help kids understand how to produce content that can be heard. That's what I mean by competitive voice. I'm not talking about competing with them. I'm talking about the fact that it can compete with all kinds of media so that the message is indeed heard. Okay. What I'm going to do is just drop out of this, and I'm going to show you that piece. I've got to hook up my sound here. Okay. Let me get a little background on this. This is called the Digital Diplomacy Project. We wanted our kids to be able to create content and post it to YouTube. This piece is done by an 18-year-old senior. She is Hispanic, and she's going to be talking about immigration. When she did this piece originally, what she did was she used a song from Simon and Garfunkel, America. And she said, "Mr. Jakes, how do you like my piece? I listened to it." And I said, "Well, it's a nice piece. It's very, very well done, Amanda. But we can't use that because it's got that copyright." So the young man sitting next to her goes, "You need a piece of music." And she said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, let me listen to your piece." And so we did. And right when he was watching, he took out some of the sheets of music and started composing a piece for her. And so he went down to our MIDI music lab, and he actually constructed the music for her. So this is her piece. It's on immigration in the United States. It is, all the images you see here are done from our Creative Commons licensed photography in Flickr. Okay. And it's really a nice piece. This took her probably about when you do digital stories and produce video content, the secret of that is in the writing. High quality videos start with high quality writing. Okay, so listen to the piece. Watch her selection of images, okay? And watch how she represents her ideas, and she uses the still frame images as a second track of meaning. In digital stories, in high quality digital stories, there's two tracks of meaning. One is the spoken word that's reflective of the narrative. The second one is the image storyline that is produced by the use of the images. In digital storytelling, you never ever illustrate your story. You use images to tell the story. Big, big difference. So here's our piece. It's called True America. And by the way, watch the Ronald McDonald image to start out. It's perfect.
Something said to me, when I asked my children if they wanted to move to America, to the States, they said, no, Dad, they'll make fun of our accents. I guess I knew at that moment that this land was not always a land of opportunity. You watch the news, hear the politicians speak, and wonder why people, even young children, literally die to get here. They will tell you that freedom comes with a price and legal papers. But when you travel to this foreign land, just miles beyond the border and the comfort of home, you see this poverty firsthand. And you can walk those cobblestone streets, see the ancient archways, and admire the culture, especially the people. It's not until a young boy, no older than 5 or 6, comes up to you with a big smile, dirt-smeared face, and asks you if you want to buy some gum. It's that smile that captures you. It's those moments that you realize how free you really are. Free to walk the streets on that warm summer's day. Free to give a dollar. Free to leave your country and return into open arms. And that little boy will probably never know those kinds of freedoms. He will spend his whole life begging, waiting, wishing, surviving. It was at this point in my life when I knew I could no longer forget those who needed someone to stand up for them. Hearing about my cousin's fears, the negative realities of this place that I have called home for so long, made these freedoms seem unfair and biased. And all the while, we are growing up with this sick cliche idea of justice and freedom. But I do know this freedom, and I have tasted this justice. I have seen what this government can do for its people. It is time to find the America that was built on the principles that have saved so many for hundreds of years. Ignorance will bring down humanity, but acceptance will surely set us free. Let us find the true America.
Watch how she finishes here. She made a mistake here. She should have had one more black slot after that to fade away. But those represent all the Flickr screen names of the individuals she got the images from. That's all that's required within the attribution license to be able to do that. Okay. So if that was done in Microsoft PhotoStory, and one of the bad things about PhotoStory is it actually puts in a pan and a zoom for you. And you got dizzy watching that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's too much panning and zooming, and it's hard to get. That sort of panning and zooming is the new transitions for kids. It really is. So what do you think of that piece? What kind of skills are embedded in that, if we're talking about literacies? I mean, basically, what is that? We're asking kids to do what? To communicate, right? We're asking kids to communicate. But is that a new kind of literacy, or is it an old established literacy, but in just now achieved in a different way? Okay. What's going on?
Oh, it's just.
Sure.
Just in terms of the whole unit, was there a particular theme to it?
starting point, you had to write a script.
Okay, the process is they were saying you have 2 minutes to say what you want to say about America. That was their only single prompt. Okay, and what we did is we came back and we said we'll let them write for a day. And then we showed them a couple pictures of kids, some of the one laptop per child photos, kids in Nigeria, looking at two little boys looking at the screen of their green laptop. And what I said to them is, I said, what if their first, very first image of an American is the video that you developed and put on YouTube? Three hands went up at once and said, I called on the first person, and I said, what's your question? They said, can we go back and write, because our content's not good enough for that? And then the two hands went down. So never negate the power of the audience to produce a quality product. But so what we're talking about here is we're talking about being able to write, okay? All right, there's tremendous amounts of visual literacy skills in here, being able to associate the right kind of image, capture the kind of mood that you want to have or portray within your story. There's project management skills involved in this. There's understanding of ethical issues and how to use digital content appropriately. So the process of digital storytelling is a way to really consummate a kind of approach to developing a new kind of communication within kids. 10 years ago, that wasn't possible, right? If you produce a video and distribute it through the entire world, now it is. So the question is, what are you doing? Are you doing that and helping your kids understand how to do that? And that's really at the essence and the heart and soul of visual literacy now, is to be able to create and craft messages appropriately.
Okay. All right. You have any questions at this particular time?
The maps is back here. Yeah.
I understand the movement towards collaboration and sourcing of various media from others' content. But at your school in particular, or in general, do you feel that we're not putting enough stress on the children creating their own content? So, for example, I thought it was well done. I would have appreciated it more had she taken the photos herself, for example. I find that, at least in our school, the children, their first instinct is to look to others, and that's fine, but I would like to see them develop photo skills themselves. So do you have other projects where they're more constrained to produce all originally?
That's an interesting idea, and I think if you go back to my earlier comment, or my framework, the third piece is about how important it is to be a producer of image yourself. I think your point's well taken. For us, it's a matter, for the most part, of not having the equipment to do that. It's more of a logistical thing than anything, I think, and not having the equipment and the time necessary to be able to devote to a project like that, to be able to create your own media. But I think that is ultimately the way to make this a much richer, deeper experience for kids, is to be, I think they have to understand how to access content or remix content. But again, I think being able to produce your own meaning is absolutely critical too, so your point's well taken.
Well,
I agree with
itself
that.
To integrated sort of work, doesn't it, across curriculum areas?
Absolutely does. Mm-hmm. Absolutely does. If you can make that happen, that's the way that she's talking about integrating curriculum across the school to develop a project like that, and that does make sense. All right, Google Street View, I'm going to go back to this and just show you. And by the way, they are doing this. They started in the UK. They do have, come across here. They've started. Google's going to map the entire world if we're not careful. And by the way, are you aware that there are now sites that are completely devoted to catching people doing very various things in Google Street View? They've got caught people doing all kinds of things. You sit there for days and look through the movies. That's a little beyond. All right. So what I'm going to do is go here and go to Dallas. And I'm going to zoom in. Those are all the areas that are mapped. If you've never seen this, quite a phenomenal piece. And I was born in 1959. And one of the things that fascinates me, and I'm a little too young to remember it, was the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And what I'm going to do is drag this little guy right here and place him right there. Okay? And when I do that, guess where I'm at?
The grass.
there is the grassy knoll right there. Okay. And if I were to come back here, move down Elm Stream a little bit. Okay, it's not going to... Get the idea? Okay. Wow. All right. Well, one of the things that's real nice, this is all being done in cities, and there's a lot of history that's taking place in cities. But the nice thing about this, by the way, there's the Texas School Book Depository. There is the grassy knoll. Anybody ever been there? Could be any intersection in America. It's really small. You expect this big, huge place. It's actually quite small. The grassy knoll is probably no bigger than this room. But here's the thing that is absolutely stunning. You know, I think I might have passed it up. There it is right there. The guys that, there's a population of gentlemen that work this area and will be tour guides for a fee. And every year they paint an X on the street. And that's where, and if you do some research, they will tell you that they get it right within a couple inches every year. City takes it off every year. But that's where the fatal headshot took. It's right there in Google Street View. And so what people do is they actually go and stand on that spot when there's no traffic, and they take a camera picture up of the sixth floor depository. It's a very bizarre kind of process. But when you click on this link, when you explore this, and you're talking about visual messages and visual content, if you click on that link, you'll notice this right here. And I'm gonna actually click on this customize here, see if I can go there. And what do you see down here? There's more embed code, right? And where this can go is it can go into a wiki or any kind of website. And so literally, as an instructor, if I'm asking my kids to process some content like the Kennedy assassination, one of the things that I want to do is I want to work with this kind of element so that I can actually take them there and they can actually have a 3D rotational view and have an immersive environment where we place them into the environment. Now, that is really easy. Just paste it in, and you can actually, you know, go right down the motorcade route and take different street view shots and have kids experience that same progression of the motorcade. So, pretty interesting kind of tool. And again, there it's city based, of course, but certainly there's a lot of history that has taken place in the cities. The way to blend in visual content. Okay. Any questions on that? Pretty amazing piece of work, actually. Okay. All right. Finish up here. Once kids are comfortable working in different kinds of mediums, of course, is the powerful component of Web 2.0 is the ability to share through networks. And networks for sharing and collaboration extend that voice, certainly, so that an individual can be a contributing member of the community. Now, you've heard lots about this already. You'll continue to hear more about it. We're talking about being able to contribute to an online community, being a participatory member of that, and so that drives learning. Take a look at this. And you see this in, this is an example from where? It's from Flickr, right? But you have a whole community that's based around a single image. And there's 75 comments below about asking about how that technique was done. So here's the idea, you know, we've got these kind of environments now. The networks really extend our capacity to pull people together to make sense of this kind of content.
I once heard somebody actually say this. What do we need pandas for? We have them we can look at them in pictures. You know, so it's almost like I think that we work away from our nature and really being in a place that like really seeing that. And we think it's so beautiful.
There's no substitute for the real thing.
But what about really seeing? You know, we're almost getting to this point of like visuals just taking place of our reality. And sometimes it really worries me when I hear people say, well, who needs orangutans? You know, we have pictures of them, we have movies of them, we have videos of them. And that, like, it just, like, hurts.
I forgot my camera, so I'm going to download a bunch of pictures from Flickr on Shanghai and show those to my friends. Creative Commons license, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I think you're right. There's a time and a place for everything. You know, one of the things, are you familiar with Delicious?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you familiar with how to set up subscriptions in Delicious?
Let me just show you real quick. This has a bearing on your answer here, or on your question. See if I can get there. By the way, I've got my Delicious links up there, delicious.djakes. And on the form for this presentation, there was a question that someone asked me about something very similar to what you're asking about. And I came across a very nice article that dealt with where kids are going with this. And let me see if I can pull up here. All right. So let's scroll down here. I've got way too many tags. Spent too much time online. Did it get hot in here, or is it me? All right. You know what? I was smart enough. I took that image down before all those my sick friends on Ustream last night in the States saw it, so they could vote on and drive my score down. Yeah, they're all disappointed this morning. Yeah, I know. You know, I knew they were doing that. All right, take a look. These are my visual literacy bookmarks. I've got 67. So if you go to my site, delicious.djakes, you can go ahead and take a look at what I've stored there. But the really interesting thing is to go to subscriptions. And I do a lot of my research now through subscriptions. It's a great thing to teach kids. If you want to see more about how Delicious and use social bookmarking for in classroom, I'd be glad to show you that in on conference. But here is my, if I scroll down to visual literacy, this is my subscription. If you don't know what this means, is that what I'm doing is I'm subscribing to every single resource that's placed in Delicious by all users worldwide that have the tag visual literacy. So I'm tapping into the power of the crowd to feed me content on visual literacy. Someone asked on the forum section for this presentation about resources and how to get those relative to visual literacy. The classic way to do that in my mind now is through Delicious, being able to use the subscription. You know, take a look at some of the links here. Are you visual literate? Are your kids? In fact, I think the one I'm looking for is on the next page here. What it really, yeah, there it is. Top one, picture perfect generation, visually stimulated or visually literate. So I think that is somewhat in the direction of an answer for you. I think there's a concern about the difference between how savvy our kids are. Are they literate, or are they stimulated by all the video games and all the things that they see? This is done by EDUCAUSE, by the way. If you're not familiar with EDUCAUSE, they do some very, very good work. So I'd encourage you to read that. But there's a whole host of resources there that are available for you. The subscription feature is pretty powerful. Okay, and then final thing is, this is that anyone really now, the whole purpose of this is being a contributing member is to be able to learn independent of time, space, and place. That's the key thing. Before we finish here, I just want to take you back. Let's see. Not where I wanted to go. Come on. I apologize for the bandwidth. Sorry about that. Okay. So go back and take a look at the... Oh, here we go. What do you think of this? How slow it is? Did you get frustrated? Yeah. How'd you like to be me right now? No answer.
Okay, go back and take a look at those series of sequences. They flow from beginning with there's a biological basis to communication, everything in between leading up to be a learner that's capable of learning independent of time, space, and place. I hope you picked up some tips today about visual literacy. There's a lot. It's an exciting topic. Again, I'll be here through the conference, of course. If you want to talk any more about any of the things that I've talked about today, please go ahead and put that up on the conference list. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
This and all Learning 2.08 podcasts are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 Share Alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.